me a Parsha story. Welcome to Parsha Pals.
As we continue to look for ways to support our family in Israel, I am hopeful that this Parsha story can be a part of that by helping us grow our Torah learning and how we treat each other. Ever since Frank was a little boy, he had a dream to work in a candy chocolate factory when he would grow up. He spoke about it to his parents and his grandparents and his friends at school, and he wanted to make sure that it would be a company or a factory where he can be involved in the chocolate and the candy, because he really, really, really liked chocolate and really, really, really enjoyed eating candy. Everybody thought it was very cute and sweet, and that Frank would outgrow it, that maybe when he was 18 or 20 or 22, he would change his mind and decide on a different kind of work. But nah-uh, Frank stayed strong with his dream. And when Frank grew up, that's exactly what he did. He went to work in a chocolate candy company and factory, and his day was filled with making chocolate and different kinds of candy. One day, Frank was just having one of those days. You know, some days can be harder than others. Well, Frank's first job that Monday morning when he went to work was to roast the cocoa beans. Cocoa beans first need to be cleaned to make sure there's no bugs or mold inside of them. And then after the beans are cleaned, they're put in a huge roaster for about 35 minutes. And there, the shell of the cocoa bean separates from the bean kernel. It's called the fanning process. Frank was very good at that. So that was Frank's first assignment of the day. He went over to the machine. He loaded tons of beans inside of this huge roaster. And he set the timer, as he always did every Monday morning, for 35 minutes. But Frank was a little distracted. And instead of putting the temperature at 350 degrees, Frank pressed the number 4 instead of the number 3. And he was roasting the beans at 450 degrees without realizing it. As some of the other workers walked through the floor of the factory, they said, "We smell something. What's burning? Is that smell coming from outside or from inside? Is somebody having a barbecue for breakfast?" And then the supervisor walked through and said, "I believe the smell is coming from the roaster. Let me check it out." He walked straight to the roaster, pressed pause, opened the window, and he was quite shocked. All of the beans that were in the roaster were burned to a crisp. None of them would be able to be used. They wouldn't be able to turn into nibs that are then crushed to make the cocoa butter. How did Frank react when this happened? Frank said, "What's your problem? What's your problem? It's your problem," to everybody standing next to him, when really the truth was, Frank, the problem might be you. Frank's blaming everybody else. He said, "I definitely put the right number in. This can't be my fault." Frank then moved on to his next assignment for the day, where he took a huge amount of nibs from the day before, because this morning there were no nibs because of the burning situation. And his assignment was to put these nibs between two very large steel discs so that they would be crushed. And then the fat is melted inside, and then the cocoa butter and the chocolate liqueur is created in this way. Well, Frank was being careless, and he didn't line the two discs one on top of the other closely enough. So when he put in the code for the crushing to start happening, it sounded like a drum or a tambourine going clap, 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 and suddenly there were these chocolate nibs oozing out of the side, falling on the floor, and some workers started to trip. Frank again is looking around at everybody saying, "What's your problem? What's your problem? What's your problem? How did you make this happen? This isn't me. This wasn't my fault." "Frank, the problem might be you." Ooh, Frank was getting good and angry. This was a bad day so far for him. Everything was going wrong. "Let me move on to assignment number 3, he thought. "Maybe everybody around me won't be getting on my nerves, and maybe mistakes won't happen now." His third assignment was the day was after the chocolate is molded, sometimes they add caramel or peanut butter on the inside. On this morning, Frank's assignment was to make sure that the caramel got inside the chocolate. The conveyor belt was set up. He had to put the different codes in the computer so that the caramel would be inserted in the middle, passed down on the conveyor belt, and then put into boxes ready to be shipped out. Frank put in the code, and he's standing near the conveyor belt, waiting, watching for the chocolates to come out. The woman who was standing next to him online, as the chocolate started coming out, said, "Frank, are you sure you put the code in correctly? Check out those chocolates that are coming out on the conveyor belt." And he said, "What? What? What's going on?" She said, "Look, Frank, the caramel is on the outside and the chocolate is in the inside." "Oh, no, I can't believe you made that happen," he said to the woman. "I keep doing everything right, and everybody around me keeps messing up. What's your problem?" "Frank, the problem might be you." The woman said, "Frank, let's walk over to the computer together and try to stop this run, because it looks like 1,000 of these chocolates came out already, and they're all going to need to be discarded." Oh no, another hard part of Frank's day. The next assignment that Frank had was actually his favorite place to be in the entire factory. Frank really liked how gummy worms tasted, and he set up all the codes and poured in all the ingredients to create gummy worms. As you can guess, Frank was stuck in a pretty bad place that day. And because he was so aggravated, he was careless when pressing the buttons. And the gentleman standing next to him online, next to the conveyor belt for the gummy worms, said, "Frank, Frank, what's going on? I don't see worms coming out. I see snakes. I don't think the settings were done properly. Could you please go and adjust it?" "What's your problem? What's your problem?" Frank said, looking at the gentleman standing next to him. "How did you make this happen? What's your problem?" "Frank, the problem might be you." Frank stopped the machine, readjusted the numbers, and just couldn't wait for this no good, very bad, terrible, horrible day to be over. As Frank walked to his car after his day of work, he was thinking, "Everybody got me in such trouble today. Everybody made so many problems for me today. What a bad day. I think I'm going to stop at 7-Eleven and get a Slurpee to try to cheer me up before I head home for dinner." Frank stopped at 7-Eleven, picked his favorite flavor Slurpee. It's the blue with the red on top. After he pays, he gets into his car and heads back onto the Garden State Parkway to get home. However, instead of getting on the Garden State Parkway northbound in the direction of all the traffic, he entered the highway in the wrong direction. He's driving southbound on a northbound parkway. He had been so frustrated and angry about his day that he got all confused. Suddenly, his phone rang. Hello? Hello? Hi, Frank. It's Sarah calling. Sarah was Frank's wife. I just heard on the traffic report that there's something crazy going on the Garden State Parkway, that there's somebody on the parkway driving into traffic in the wrong direction. Please be very careful. I want you to get home safely. Be careful of that person that might be on the road. Frank said, Sarah, there's not one crazy driver on the road. There are hundreds of crazy drivers on the road. They're all driving in the wrong direction. I'm the only one driving in the right direction. Oh my, wow. Frank wasn't able to recognize throughout his entire day and also on his drive home that the problem was actually with him, that he was stuck in the wrong direction, and he continued to blame everybody else instead of looking inward and getting unstuck and changing around his day. That is similar to something that happens in this week's Parsha, in Parashat Bishalach. Hashem brought 10 makot on Mitzrayim. The Bnei Israel left Mitzrayim. Paro said, go! Paro saw how powerful and strong Hashem was. Paro recognized that Hashem wanted the Jewish people to leave Mitzrayim. But Paro changes his mind. And Hashem had told the Jews to travel a little bit back. And Paro said, oh, they must be lost. They must be stuck. I'm going to go after them. We're going to get those Jews. And Paro starts chasing them with whatever was left of his army and his chariots. And then the Yam, the water, is in front of Bnei Israel, and Paro is behind them. And Hashem tells Moshe to put his mateh, his stick, over the water. We learn that Nachshon ben Aminadav proudly walked in first, and the waters opened up, and all of Bnei Israel went through. And Paro is chasing after them and chasing after them, and Hashem tells Moshe to put his stick out again because the water was going to come back together. One would think that Paro and the Egyptians would turn around at that point and start running backwards out of trouble. But they ran right into the water. What was going on? Why would they run in when the water was closing? Paro, like Frank, was stuck. He thought that his way was the right way, and he got himself further and further and further into trouble until the water covered Paro and all of the Egyptians that drowned in the Yam Suf. A lesson that we can learn from Paro and from Frank is not to get stuck. We all make mistakes. We all might get stuck in a certain behavior. But if we look inward, we can shift our direction. We can take ownership and move forward. Let's think of an area in our life where we might be stuck and where we want to change course, change direction, take ownership, and move forward in a really positive way. I hope that this message that we learn from this week's Parsha can be brought into our lives and that our efforts to do so will serve as a zechut for our beloved chayalim and for our brothers and sisters in Israel. Shabbat Shalom.